I'm thankful for the revival, but those series of meetings are over, aren't they? We need to press on. I know that there's some might even, if they think or worry about those things, might even feel a little bit relieved that that the Lord's going to take care of us in the future, and feel like that they themselves can rest. But you know, when the Lord provides you a promise, it's very rare that that promise don't entail in some part of it victory for us. And in order to receive that victory, we must follow Him. We were thinking about if the Lord would have us preach there. We got several thoughts on our mind. It says in the 103rd Psalm, it says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us." We was trying to get our mind around that. And I don't know the full comprehension of the Jewish mind at this time, but there's a lot of the Europeans, anyhow, later on, thought this world was flat. Naturally, if it being flat, east and the west never again meet, do they? Well, they don't on around Earth either. Did you realize that? Because when you go east, you'll continue as you go east. You can go around the Earth and pass where you were at, and you're still going east. You know, you go north, and at some point, you're going to be going south. And so when the Lord said, as far as the east is from the west, as long as you are following Christ Jesus and you are following Him and you're heading east, you will never be going west. I'm afraid that there's a lot of people that want to travel north to south and don't realize that. Now, I understand that. Listen about this, and then we'll go ahead and read on. Longitudinal lines. Do you realize every one of them is the same? If you think, for instance, I'm too lazy to walk all the way around the earth because at the equator, it's 24,901 miles. Well, if you want to save 42 miles, well, then you can go north. Because the earth is not a perfect sphere. It's squished in the middle. So if you want to save, if you're going to walk across around the world, you can save yourself 42 miles by heading north. But the weather, my gracious, the weather's terrible. 42 miles, what be that, you know? But just think about that for a minute. As you go north, then you're going to be entering in some mighty cold weather on both the north and the south pole. We was thinking about that very thing and thinking about how the Lord has separated us from our sin. Now, there are consequences we must bear. But listen, if the past is overcoming you, it's because you ain't following Jesus. It's because you have stopped going east, as it were, and you've turned. Because here's another thing. As long as I'm going north, until I cross the North Pole, I'm going north. But once I cross the North Pole, now I'm heading south. At that point, if I am to go north, I got to turn around. You can stand on the North Pole, and you can go any direction, and you'll be leaving the place you're standing on. But if you're on the equator and you head east, bless your heart, you're still on the equator. That's the way it is with the Lord. That when you follow Him, you never have to leave Him. When He meets you there, well then glory to God. You can go on that journey. But just like every longitude line is the same length, and they intersect at the poles. If you are on one of the parallels and the Lord tells you to head east, if you ain't on the equator, do you know what? You got a shorter trip to make, because every progressing line is a smaller and smaller circle. When I come to the Lord at 12 years old, I don't know how long my life is. I don't know if I started on the equator or on the 39th parallel, but bless your heart, the Lord knows, and He knows how long our days are, and I don't have to run back back into my past. And yes, there are people that cross my path, but they ain't going the same direction I'm going, because I'm heading east. And as long as you're heading east, I don't even know, is that east? I don't even know. But listen, you follow Jesus Christ, and you don't even need a compass. He is our compass, and we can have joy in the Lord. But there are so many people that are worried and wanting an easy way out, and they tell themselves, I reckon I'll go north, not realizing the storms that are ahead. And you'd be far ahead of following the Lord, because after all, here, where I think, what is it? Washington, D.C. He's on the 39th parallel. It's a lot shorter journey around this earth than 24,000 miles, 901. But I'm thankful that no matter where you go in life, as long as you're following the Lord, He'll carry you through. The Bible says, if you want to turn there, it says over here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, looking at the second verse, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we find here that the Lord enjoyed what was ahead of him. But it tells me that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. I couldn't help but read that this morning without thinking about the passage over here in Malachi. In the third chapter, it says, in the 13th verse, it says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that ye have kept his ordinances, and that ye have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud, listen, and now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord, and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. The Bible says that the Lord is the author and finisher of our faith, and it brought him great joy to suffer for me and you. And why is that? Because he had a story to tell. He had a book to write, and he knew the end of it, Daddy. And the sufferings in this world was worth it. But the Bible says in Malachi that there was those that looked all around them. I couldn't understand why the proud were happy. Sin. The proud ain't never happy. They're always being slighted. They're always not getting their props. They're always not being recognized. The proud are miserable, but they sure have a way of putting on airs, do they not? Oh, they want everybody to think that they're happy because they have everything that they need, but they don't. They're miserable. But we live in a world today where everybody
is telling a lie, and people are so foolish as to believe it. And what lie would that be? Well, for one, that the proud are happy, and for another, as it says here, that work wickedness, that they be set up, yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. And we see that in society today, don't we? Where the wicked are lifted up, where they don't want equal rights. They want special rights. But there was a group of people, the Bible says right here, that feared the Lord, and they often spoke one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remittance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Do you notice? He didn't write that book of remembrance for himself. He don't need to remember it. For he lives in the present. He is God. And he forgets nothing. But he wrote that for me and you. You know, I was trying to think of all the things that the Lord had done for me through my life. And to my shame, and to my feeble mind, I imagine I can't even remember 10% of it. But when I get to heaven, I'll have a perfect memory. Well, I don't know that I will. If I'm creating his likeness, no doubt I will. But I won't need one, because the Bible says that God has wrote a book of remembrance for his children. Not for him, but for his children. What an honor and a privilege it's going to be at story time in heaven when people gather around. And I won't have to remember, Jason, what he did for me when I was 8 years old. How he moved between the workings of my family to bring me to an altar. But I'll be able to turn, no doubt, to page 27 and begin to read. And it won't only bless me, but it'll bless all the children of God. Why? Because we are those that have endured tribulations. We are those that have been cast aside, as it were, by the world. We was mentioning that in Sunday school. You start changing your ways and changing your life. And all those, a man told me last week, last Sunday, or maybe it was his wife, I was telling my wife, I said that my family and my husband's family think we're crazy. Why? Because they moved from one state to another. And quit living one way and started living another. Why is it every time somebody's moved by conviction, everybody that's set in the rut or on the bench of do nothing always comes up with the same response? That person must think they're better than me. I've heard that all my life from when I was just a little kid. And as the Bible says here, God's children moves with fear and they obey the Lord. Why the wicked prosper, the righteous flee the presence of those that judgment one day is going to fall on them. Not because we think we're better, but because we think we've been redeemed. Or more importantly, we know we have. I'd rather somebody think I'm self-righteous than to think that I was a hypocrite. You say, Daryl, they're the same thing. No, they are not. And though those two words might be used in the same sentence by the wicked, oh, they think they're better than us and they're not the hypocrites. Or actually, to be better or to think yourself to be better is to do things differently than the rest of the world. And we live in a world that's so confounded. One minute this is wrong, and the next minute it ain't. Have you seen where the politically correct have been eaten alive? Why? Because they're heading north, and then they're heading south. Then they're heading north, and then they're heading south. But God's children have been separated from their sins. As far as the Bible tells me, as far as the east is from the west. And if you put one foot in front of the other, and a glory to God, it's a glorious journey. Can you imagine? If it was possible, I known some people say that they have bicycled around the world. And well, that's not entirely true. Why? Because they've only bicycled on the land. And that's still quite an accomplishment, I can't imagine. And I didn't even think of it. I'd like to look that up. If he was going to circumnavigate the world just on the land, what your journey would be and how long it'd take you. But you know what? You'd be knocking a lot of miles off of it because the majority of this earth is covered in water. But just think, what a journey. 24,901 miles around the equator. I thought I went on a long trip when I went from the East Coast out here. At one point we was talking about visiting Maine, and the shortest way to Maine is to even leave this country and go into Canada. Yeah, you don't have to, but that's the most direct journey there. I can drive from the East Coast to where we live here, but I don't think I could drive straight through to Maine. If I did, I'd be one tar puppy at the end of it. I can't begin to imagine what kind of a journey it would be if I set off on foot to go to Maine. But the Lord has given each and every one of us a journey. How long? Don't know. There's those that have been set on a highway. The Bible says no vultures ever looked upon it. There ain't no dead quarry on it. There's no rotten flesh on it. It's a highway of holiness, a road of righteousness. Bless your heart. And the Lord's eyes are upon us. What do you want? You want to be on a road that a buzzard's looking at you? Or King Jesus? I'd take King Jesus any day. But there's a lot of people just like them buzzards. When you go on that highway of holiness, they're just waiting for you to drop dead. But the difference being is God's people ain't confounded. They ain't going north one minute or one season, as it were, and going south the next. If the Lord sets you on a road, as it were, going east to west, you are on a parallel. You might be on the 53rd or the 43rd parallel, and me on the 39th. We are walking parallel with Jesus. But listen, if you think you're on the right road and you're on the same right road, your path will converge with every one of them others that are on that same right road, whether it's on the North Pole or the South. And here the thing is, you follow Jesus, he'll fill you up, he'll keep you warm, and he'll fill you with his holy fire. But you follow the world and Satan, and you'll find yourself frozen in some Arctic wasteland, and you'll have company, and they'll be coming from every different direction, but you'll be lost without hope. Won't you come to my Lord so that he might be able to write a book that you'll one day want to read and want to read to others. I can remember as a kid my mama telling us about her childhood. I don't think in my childhood there was ever an instance that I didn't think my daddy didn't love my mama and my mama didn't love my daddy. My mama stayed at home and she kept home, and my daddy worked a job. Now, we weren't rich, and I can remember experiencing living in the county we did, where there was a lot of people more well off than, say, maybe this county here, accordingly. And I can remember us not having a house and my dad renting, and there was even times in my mind I thought, well, you know, if my mama got a job, maybe then we could have a home and all of that. But you know what? My parents, they had a better vision than this boy did, and they understood them things. And I can remember my mama telling me
about her childhood. Remember her dad being drunk, and you'll have to ask her. But how I recollect it was is that that his drinking at that one particular time had to do with her her mother being unfaithful to him, and she ran off. Well, first off, they took in a boarder, and then she ran off with him. And I can remember my mama telling that story, and about her father laying out in the snow out in the front yard. And she was looking out the window and just afraid that he was going to freeze to death. And I couldn't comprehend it. I just couldn't comprehend how a man wouldn't care more for his family than to let his children seem like it. But you know what? He was hurting. He was busy writing his own story. He wouldn't allow the Lord to be the author and the finisher of his life. And she would talk about standing on at the bus stop because as most families it takes place when there's a separation of ways, the young kids go with the mother and maybe the older kids stay with the father, but it was a decision made by adults that children don't get a lot of times to put their input in. But I can remember I hope you don't mind me sharing this, Mama, but I can remember her talking about standing at the bus stop just hoping that all the people on the bus didn't know that her mother was shacked up with somebody that wasn't her father, standing there in that shame. But listen to me now, my mama wasn't writing her own story, bless your heart. She was having to live out the stories of others. But as I would hear that, and it would break my heart. Thanks be to God, this little mind of mine couldn't get my mind around how it was that she was living in a home such as that. And it created an environment with my father where I always felt safe, where I never felt in trouble. I couldn't understand it. Because I could not comprehend that Jesus Christ was the author and finisher of their faith, and that I was just looking at the middle of their story. But praise be to God, there was one day when I come to Jesus, he patted me on the shoulder when I bowed at that altar and says, "Oh, Daryl, I've got a story to tell you. You walk in my ways, and I'll separate you from your sin as far as the east is from the west." And yes, you might be lonely at times, but I want to tell you that you'll never be all alone. And I'll have to say at 52, no, at 50, at 53, oh, that the Lord has kept his word. And I don't know when the end is. We kind of felt here a while back. We was burdened. And we thought that, Lord, we even prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, you're going to have to move, dear God. Lord, if you take me, I don't figure I'm going to be whittled on now." I realize that just like doctors have a way of scaring you, right? Just like they scared old Wade and said, if he don't have this open heart surgery, he ain't just going to have a heart attack, but he's going to have the most painful heart attack. Well, I don't really know. Bless their heart. I don't even know on a scale of 1 to 10 what that even means. Is that kind of arguing about getting shot with a 9mm versus a .40 caliber? You know, I bet you there's been a lot of people that have been shot with a 9mm that did not have the opportunity to say, "Boy, I'm glad that weren't a 40, because it killed them deader than dead," right? But with that being said, I don't know. If I look into the face of a doctor and he says, "Daryl, if you don't have this surgery, you're going to," because see, it ain't a matter of choosing whether you live or die. Sometimes just having a massive heart attack and living for the next 10 years in massive pain. But I've seen too many people whittled on. I've seen too many people where the cure is worse than the disease. Speaking about what do you call that, where they shoot that stuff in your veins. No, I'm talking about when you have cancer. You know what I'm talking about. Chemotherapy. Listen, it ain't no kind of therapy I hold any part of. But the point being is, we was having some health issues, and I come to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I know, because you wrote my story. I know good and well you can be a better father to my, than I am to my children. You can be a better husband to my wife than I am. You can be a better son to my parents. I want your will in my life. Oh, but I also want to know, Lord, that everything will be all right. And when I mean all right, I mean that the Lord will provide for the next generation like he provided for me. And you know what? I believe the Lord has communicated that to me. So if I was daddy, if you come back and Daryl is no longer on this earth, I want you to know that my God's good, that I must have started somewhere, as it were, on the 90th parallel, maybe. Just a short little circle around this earth. But if we would just yield to him and let him write our story, let him not just be the author of that glorious story, but let him be the finisher as well, we'll find that when we let the Lord have control of our life, then we ourselves will be in better control of our decisions. We observed something not too far back in the past, and all that it shouted us, that person's totally out of control. I've been there. I know what that's like. Have you ever been there? To my shame, I've punched cows, and they dropped to their front knees and a squeeze shoot. Did that do my fist any good? No. Now, was it that I knocked them out? No. But when I hit them, they went down on their knees. They probably was trying to get rid of and get away from this angry fella. But the point being is that every one of us, in times past, maybe not, right? I know the proud are happy, and they're always in full control of their facilities. No one in particular. That man is a donkey on the edge. But in his mind, if you know the reference, in his mind, he's in control of everything. But unfortunately, he's writing his own story. We've all seen people that's out of control. And the only way to regain that control is to be separated from your sin. And the Lord has promised us that it can be as far as the east is from the west. Do you see that? And the only way you get there, you see what I'm doing here, is through the cross. You know, the man that puts his hand to the plow and heads east, right, and looks back, ain't fit for the kingdom of God. I added that east part. But the point being is that there is too many people that can't be separated from their sins because they can't walk in a straight line long enough to get away from said sin. And then they'll sit down and boo-hoo for a week of Sundays because God let them down. And he said, I will separate you from your sin as far as the east is from the west. But you're going to have to let him write your story. You're going to have to let him be the author and finisher of your faith. Because if you ain't, well, then this is just a tragic horror flick. It's not a story of joy, right? The Bible said he's the author and finisher of our faith. And with joy, he suffered all that he did. Why? Because it is a beautiful tale. Right? Have you ever read any of them stories? And it's like, there are some books that have no redeeming value whatsoever. It starts off bad, it stays bad, and then some of them, the worse it gets, the more determined they are to finish the book. Unfortunately, if that's the way you are, you shouldn't pick books up and start reading them. Because at the end, there is no, just a pointless book. Is that your life? Is your life going to be a pointless book? That at its end, you'll say, look at what I constructed. I heard somebody, I think it's t-shirts, right? That scars are tattoos with a story behind them, right? Like, it's usually somebody that's a skateboarder or a dirt bike guy that's riding them. Or nowadays it could be somebody that runs a piercing salon. But that ain't technically a scar. That's just a hole, unless it gets ripped out. Well, you can ask Rebecca about that. She knows how to do that if you need anybody. But the point being is that people always want to write their own tale, and it's going to be fascinating. That was even a recruitment. I think it was of the Army. Maybe it was the Marine Corps. I don't know what, but it said, if they write a book about your life, would anybody want to read it? You know, there's a lot of people that would like to read a life of depravity. But will you want to relive it in hell over and over and over again? I don't know about you, but I want to read that book that Jesus had to be wrote about all of us, right? That's going to be a wonderful, because here, he's going to be narrating it. Have you ever, you know, as the tale goes, you know, about the man whose son broke his leg, and they come around and they said, oh, that's so misfortunate. And the father says, well, I don't know whether it's fortune or misfortune. I don't know. And then the army came through and they were inscripting people to go into the military. And his son couldn't go because he broke his leg. And then shortly after that, the army was destroyed in a great battle, and people said that's misfortunate, and the man wants, he'd already learned, right? He says, well, I don't know if it is or not. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes the worst things that happen in our life, if we let the Lord be the author of it, it's a blessing in disguise, right? Let's get some song to sing. Who's writing your story? I've been guilty of it when I was little. And if you ain't careful, you'll still be guilty of it. Embellishing a tale, right? Who's writing your story? I remember a kid, for instance, saying, I caught a fish this big. And that big turned into being wider than his shoulders. Have you ever done that? You might not be even aware of it. I even seen a kid once took a measurement of it. He said, that fish was 8 inches. Next time, that fish was 8 inches. And he wasn't lying, but his tape measure was growing a lot. And that's what happens when we write the tale, right? We want ourselves to be perceived well. We want people to look good at us and all of that. But God's keeping a record of it. And though we might write a tale that everybody will want to read, it won't be true. And the Lord has got a record on high. Go ahead.